sun rise on the evil ones and on the good ones, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Right? That's what God does. He waits patiently for the unjust to be converted. And then verse 46, because if you love those who love you, what's your reward? You want a cookie? Good job. Oh, you love those who love you? You want a boss? What good thing do you do more than others? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you only greet your brothers and you say to your brothers, those who love you, you say hi, and those who don't like, you just like, say hi to them, evil eye. You know, whatever. If you just say hi and just send messages to those who love you, hey, what are you any better than pagans? Not even the pagans do that. Even the heathen love you, their friends. So if you only love your friends, how are you born again? How are you better than the heathen? Right? And so God, Jesus is telling us something radical. You know what? This is how you're going to know what the true conversion is. See, a lot of people don't. They say, well, the ignorant. they're different and they're in their sin, and we don't like their sin, but we don't like even them. And we don't want to talk with them. We don't want to associate with them because we just don't have true love. And we're just going to say that to one another. We're going to admit that to ourselves. We say, Lord, I have not been Jesus. You know, Jesus came down to this earth. You don't think it was disgusting for him to even associate with us? How sinful we are to angels? You know, in our thoughts and our petty disagreements, how sinful that is, discord with heaven. He came down and he saw the lepers. Jesus, when he see a prostitute, you know, those who knows how many men slept with her. Back in those days, there was no protection. Who knows how many diseases are in those prostitutes, and Jesus hanging out with them. And the Pharisees like, when it's easy. there is something that's burdensome in your life and you don't like it, you know you have to keep it, but you don't wanna. The Holy Spirit is not here. But when the Holy Spirit isn't here, it's easy. It's not burdensome. His commandments, numbers. We're gonna skip all these verses. They're all talk about that crucifying the flesh. It says the Spirit crucifies our flesh. Romans 8:13. It says that by the Spirit it mortifies the deeds of the body. So the sinful nature is here, but it's crucified. A quick question. When you're crucified, are you dead? Quick, that was a trick question. No, you're not. When you're crucified, you are dying. How long does it take for a crucified person to die? Sometimes it takes days. Right? So when the Holy Spirit crucifies our flesh, it's not dead yet. It's going to be dead when Jesus comes. But what? Can he move? Can he act on your life? When the Holy Spirit crucifies your flesh, it doesn't move. Can you crucify yourself? Do you think it's hard for me to go to see her? Do you think it's a burden for me to buy her flowers? No. When you love somebody, it's easy. You can't wait to see her. You can't wait to talk about her. You can't wait to go to church. You can't wait to open the Bible in the morning. You can't wait to talk to him. You know, especially if you don't see him for a whole night or for a whole day. You know? But so what happens with us? You wake up in the morning. Facebook first before you talk to God. Who's your lover? The world, the dopamine, the screen, when you move the screen. You love that more than you love Jesus. And you have to say to yourself, wait a minute. You know, I'm not born again. Because the Bible says this. Let's go to Galatians, or actually Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. 14 to 16. You tell me when to stop. I actually don't know what time it is. Romans 8, 14 to 16. Oh, well, let's might as well read verse 13, right? Because it gives you the context. Romans 8, 13 to 16. Can someone read that from the audience, actually? Okay. Are you all there? If you live according to the flesh, why? You should die. You can't be led by the flesh, desires of the flesh, emotions of the flesh, impulses, gratification. You can't live by that. You will die. But if by the Spirit, you do what to the flesh? You put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The Holy Spirit can crucify and mortify your desires of the flesh. Amen? Right? For us, and then when you do that, this is who you are then. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. You're born again. You're a son. And you do not receive, verse 15, you do not receive the spirit of bondage to sin, to fear. What would you fear? Condemnation. You fear the judgment. You do not receive that kind of spirit. But you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, what? Abba. What is Abba? Actually, Patros is father. Abba means daddy. It's like daddy. Spirit of adoption. Have you ever been to an orphanage? Have you ever been to an orphanage? No? Well, let me show you how it is. In orphanage, there's a lot of kids. And they all pray that one day somebody will come and become their daddy. They don't have daddies or mommies. And they try to behave well, so that the leaders of the orphanage could recommend them. You know, trying their best. And then when somebody new comes, a dad or a father or mother looking for a child, they all, is this going to be my dad? Wait a second. If I become a child of this person, is that person going to love me actually? It's bigger. They don't know what to think. And then when somebody chooses them, says, you want to become my son? Chose me? And then, okay, you're going home with that person, but is there going to be love? And then you realize there is. That's it. You're adopted. And that's what the experience, born-again experience is. We are all orphans. And then we realize somebody loves us. I could not believe the Father loved me. I didn't even know. Really? Love me? Like a little orphan? I was hoping somebody would love me. And then that shows up and puts his spirit in you. And then you cry, Daddy, I didn't know I had one. And that's what happens. changes everything. All of a sudden, the rules of the house are not difficult. It's easy to love the father. It's easy to love the brothers and sisters in the church. It's easy to love even the enemies. Yeah, I don't care. I don't care you and my enemy hate me. My dad loves me. That's the most beautiful thing in the world. Love changes you, amen. Love changes you. Pray. You pray. Every day pray. Father, do you still love me? I want to feel your love. A lot of people say, don't talk about feelings. But that's not true, because what is love? It is a feeling, after all. And look, and then verse 16, we just read verse 15. It says, we cry out, Abba, Father. But then look what says verse 16. When Holy Spirit touches you and shows you that God loves you, then this is what happens. Are you there, verse 16? The Spirit Himself does what? Beareth witness with who? With our spirit that we are? We're children of God. So you have what? You have a witness. Right? The Holy Spirit comes, touches your heart, changes you, and then Holy Spirit bears witness to your mind, your spirit, that you are born again. You know it. Once you're born again, you know it. You're born again. You don't ask a question. Am I converted? No. If you ask that question, you're not converted. When I was a kid, they asked me a question. What if Jesus comes today? Would you be saved if Jesus comes today? I didn't know. I was like, am I good enough? I didn't know what it means. But you know what? We know, because the Spirit bears witness to your spirit that you're Son of God. So you can say yes today. Today, I feel God's love. Today, I'm forgiven for my sins. I hate my sins. I love His commandments, and I love enemies. And His commandments are not burdensome, and I love God so much. Oh, of course I know. Of course, I feel that the Lord is with me. I feel I'm one with Him. There's nothing in between us. I know He's my dad. Today, you can have assurance. Amen? Now, tomorrow, I'm not giving you assurance for tomorrow. Tomorrow, you need to connect with Jesus again. Peter, sink, right? So we can have assurance of salvation today. It's not like once saved, always saved. That's not what we believe as Adventists. We believe once saved, you better stay saved. That's what we believe. Okay? You come to Jesus, you stick with Jesus. That's our doctrine, okay? You know, not come to Jesus and leave Him and think you're with Him. That's schizophrenic. Okay? So what does a true conversion look like? We love everybody. Love the commandments, and love God. Pray if this is truly your experience. This is what Ellen White says. We're gonna close soon. People ask Ellen White all the time. They say, how can I tell if I'm born again? This is what she said. Well, there's a lot of ways you can tell. I just gave you three lists. She says this. But you will say, how am I to know? Well, if you say that, ask the question, you're not born again, first of all. Because you know the Spirit bears witness to your spirit. Amen? You know. It's like you were dead and now you're alive. Right? It's like a depressed person who feels happy. You know you feel happy. You know there's a change in you. So people say, but you will say, how am I to know that Christ is in my heart? Let me give you a practical. If when you're criticized, when you're what? You like to be criticized? When you're criticized or what? Corrected in your way, and things do not go just as you think they should go. If you let your what? Passion. You let your passion arise instead of bearing the correction and being what? Patient and what? Christ is not abiding in you. Somebody corrects you and tells you something. Even if that correction is not very kind, there's ways to say corrections. There's ways to say. You know, there's people who can perfectly reprove someone. I admire those people. You know, I'm not always one of those people. Sometimes I correct. Sometimes I'm really good at it. I say, look, brother, sister, you know, maybe we can do it this way, you know. Put it gently. And the person doesn't feel offended. Yes, that's exactly right. But sometimes it just comes out. feel offended, you're not dead. Amen? We gotta die to self every day, amen? We gotta die to self. We gotta love one another in this church, amen? Is there problems in this church? No? Is this angels? This is the perfect one. This is a long sermon for you guys. You guys are perfect. Nobody gets angry here. The elder is just amazingly patient and kind. Everything is beautiful. Are you kidding? Who said that? Okay, I'm going to close with this. This is the most important thing. How do we get to that point? How do we get born again? How do we have that spirit speak to us and just change? This is the Christianity 101. This is what we want. Amen? This is the last, probably the last Bible verse, hopefully. Proverbs 28:13. Now, this is the most important part of the sermon. It's like, okay, this looks beautiful, Pastor. I love what you're saying. This is true Christianity. How do I get there? I just want to know, how do I have that experience with the Lord? Proverbs 28:13. It's in the Old Testament. It's right after Psalms. Proverbs. Quoting the Bible because it's not me, it's the Bible. And this is actually the smartest person in the Bible. This is Solomon. Proverbs 28:13. Can somebody read that from the audience? Proverbs 28:13. Yes. Amen. He who does what? Sin. Do you cover your sin sometimes? You come to God and say, no, it's okay, God. You're trying to justify yourself. That's not repentance. You know? Confess. And then so here, no covering. You need to come. This is how we get born again. You come to Jesus on your knees. And you're not covering anything. You don't hide yourself like Adam in the bushes. You just come clean. And say, Lord, yes, this is. I'm going to stop justifying this. I'm going to stop saying, oh, everybody does this. I'm going to stop saying, the pastor says it's okay. I'm going to stop saying, internet says it's okay. I know the Holy Spirit is telling me it's not okay. I'm going to come clean, Lord. And I'm going to ask you, Lord, I do not hide my sin. That's number one. Number two, what other two things do we have to do according to this verse? Confess and see, this is the thing. A lot of people have been told that we only need to confess our sins. But what does this verse say? Confess and forsake. Now, can you forsake your own sin? Do you have power in yourself to forsake it? No. Do you actually have power in yourself to confess it? No. Confession came from the Lord. The Lord spoke to your heart. Now, sin and you feel grievousness of that sin that you have done, and now you're confessing it because the Lord prompted you. So it all comes from the Lord. This is not legalism. Everything comes from the Lord. Even the need to pray came from the Lord. Even your existence came from the Lord. You're not born yourself. So everything is the Lord leading you to this point where He cannot break your will. You have to say yes at each point of the way. So the Lord is bringing you to confession. You confess. You say, Lord, this is sin. I confess it. Not only confess it, you have to say, Lord, I will never do it again. And mean it. And believe that you don't have to do it again. That's called righteousness by faith. You believe that you don't have to do it again. You confess it, and you say, Lord, I forsake this, and I'm going to hate it, and I will never do it again. This is how Ellen White, this is what Ellen White says. This is a beautiful quote. Check this out. We're going to close soon. Stay with me. Are you there? Okay. The Lord has plainly revealed His will concerning the salvation of the sinner. How did He reveal it? Plainly, right? The Lord will receive the sinner when he what? Repents and forsakes his sins. The whole purpose in giving His Son for the sins of the world is that man may be saved not in transgression and unrighteousness, but in what? Forsaking sin, washing his robe. condition to salvation. There's condition to be born again. You know what the condition is? Give up your trash. The only condition. Now, you cannot even give it up of yourself. You say, Lord, I want to give it up, but I like it. Can you please take it? And he will say yes. I can't even give it. Lord, I want to give you my heart. I can't even give you my heart, but I want to give you my heart. Can you please take it? The Lord will. See, it's a transaction. It's a transaction. It's a great deal, though. Imagine this. You guys have trash and stuff in front of the house, right? Like you put things in a container. Imagine somebody comes and says, I'm going to take away your trash and I'm going to give you $1 million. Wouldn't it be a sweet deal? That's what Jesus proposed. Would you like that? Imagine the government gives you that. Hey, give me your trash. Definite and to the point, acknowledging what you're guilty of. See, it's not just like, Lord, forgive me. surrender of heart and life to the indwelling of the Prince of Heaven. It's not like, oh Lord, forgive me for this one sin, but I have two in the back. Can I repent of that later? God is like, no, you love those sins more than you love me. That's your idol. Then I can't give you my righteousness. I can't cover unconfessed and unforsaken willing sin. God doesn't cover those. You're not covered. You're not saved when you willingly disobey the Lord. That's right. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. If we have disobeyed after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no more sacrifice for sin for us, but the fearful expectation of judgment. Right? Okay. I think we should close. Pastor John was like, all right. I wish I had more time to talk about other things. Sure. So pray for forgiveness of one known sin while there is more, maybe. You sometimes confess your sin without forsaking it. That's what's blocking people from conversion. And then three, and this is important. If I leave, if I don't say this, this is what I'm not going to be good. Number three, this is the obstacles from the true conversion. I feel sorry for the personal consequences and not for what my sin has done to Jesus and to others. This is the reason why sometimes our prayers, they just go to the ceiling. And they don't go to heaven. You know why? Because you're praying, Lord, please forgive me so I can go to heaven. Right? Is that what your prayers are? It's not like, Lord, please forgive me because I have crucified Jesus this morning with my sin. The Bible says every time we willingly sin, we trample upon the blood of the Son of God. We spit on His sacrifice. We have to pray, Lord, help me to understand how dirty and disgusting this sin is for You. And help me to understand what I have done to Christ on the cross. Do you know that your sin killed Him? The past, present, and future sins, they all killed Him. So when you confess your sin, what are you sorry of? Are you sorry that you're not going to heaven? That's selfish prayer. Are you sorry that, oh Lord, my marriage is not working out. Can I please forgive me so that my marriage can work? That's you're sorry for consequences of sin. You're not sorry for sin itself. The disgustedness of sin itself and what has done to Jesus, your Father, who loves you so much and died for you. That's why when we get to our knees, we pray. We say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Some. Did you catch that? It doesn't say,